proceed. We have left with one more project that will be presented by Professor Stanislav Pakuljak, organization support and development on the GINR educational program and proposal for opening a new theme, organization support and development of the GINR human resources program. I am very curious to learn why the change educational program to human resources, but it will be certainly explained.
I will try
explained.
To explain.
Yeah, thank you. So, floor is yours.
Okay. Thanks for the possibility to present a report on the team which is finishing this year and give you some view how we organize the work with young people. So the outline of my talk is shown in this slide. I shortly remind what is the university center, what is our staff, how we organized. Then I will discuss our main activities. And finally, I will provide you by information about our budget. Okay, so the University Center is a special subdivision of Joint Institute, which are responsible for the training program. We used sometimes, and previous term, this current term, we use the word educational, but it is not really correct because we are not an educational organization. So we, in order to perform educational, real educational program in the framework of Russian law, now it's quite difficult for us, and we are not pretending for that. What we are pretending is to create conditions for students from member states, to create conditions for them to prepare their qualification works. This is our main task. I mean, the main task of university center. We altogether we have about 400 students of different sort coming through university center. This is maybe either students from Dubna University who just coming to us to listen to attend some lectures, or students who sent to us by plenipotentiaries or PhD students who sent to us to plenipotentiaries to perform real research, and on the basis of this research to prepare their dissertations either master or PhD level. We organize international schools as well. We organize practices. I will tell more about this activity in more details. Right now we have practice of South African students, 17 South African students, carefully selected by South Africa authorities, are sent to us for 3 weeks. So they stay in our laboratories, perform small educational projects, and hopefully will come to us as a scientist in the future. We also perform different outreach programs or program to propagate modern knowledge for the school students and teachers. We are training, we are organizing training programs for workers and engineers, and in particular on the basis of this machine which was discussed before. So currently we are working in this first priority team, organization support and development of the education or general educational program, and it is finishing this year, and we will ask you to support our request to open new team for the next 5 years, which basically will continue our activity mentioned here. So how we organize? So we have 3 departments inside of University Center, and just not to forget, I would like to mention that university means that university-centered doesn't mean that we are university. I repeated this many times. Maybe you already helped it for me. So we are not. We do not give our students any diploma. So all our students are students of some universities, and all our educational programs are programs of some universities. And this is normal. This is okay. That's why we can use this joint educational program to train students for our purposes. So we have Department of Educational Research Projects, which are basically general stuff where people works to organize students' life here in Dubna, to organize courses for them, for example, in foreign languages, etc. We have special department of development of educational programs, which is headed by Professor Yuri Panibratsev, and you probably remember his presentation of the project. Inside of our team, there is one project headed by Professor Panibratsev, which is devoted to the development of modern educational programs. So he and his team, based in Laboratory of High Energy Physics and the University Center, they used modern multimedia technology to create very fancy, very interesting educational programs, in particular presentation of Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics was done by this team. Also, they develop, they filmed and prepare special online courses in physics, and it is very important to propagate modern scientific result into education. So this is done in framework of this department, and we also have, by decision of plenipotentiary, as I already mentioned before, by decision of plenipotentiary, we were organized scientific engineering group, which is based exactly in this building 118, near this accelerator, linear electronic accelerator, to create the program to train engineer physicists. And of course, we have students and postgraduates who are part of our staff, but of course they do not have. We accept them as a part of staff in order to have possibility to financial support. We cannot, by law, we cannot give money to student if he student do not have any legal agreement with joint employment agreement with joint institute. So we just use very small portion of the position to accept the students, and then laboratories can financially support such students if they work good. If they don't work good, then they just give some peanuts. Okay. So first of all, training of students. As I mentioned, we have students different sort. In particular, we have students of so-called gene-based department of the universities mentioned in these slides. This is Moscow State University, Moscow Engineering Physical Institute, Dubna University, St. Petersburg State University, Moscow Physical Technical Institution, and Kazan Federal University. And recently, Kazan Federal University opened the department. And the head of this department is Professor Belushkin. He's here. And already this year, we have started to get in students coming from this university on the master level to have practice, to be trained here in Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics. So this word based means that some of our staff, member of Joint Institute, are professor at these chairs, like I mentioned, these chairs at Kazan Federal University. It helped us to somehow influence educational programs, because educational program is very, usually at the university, are very conservative. Usually they have very old courses from last century. And sometimes we were able to insist to change this educational program to include modern science, modern approaches to train specialists which are necessary to us to solve our present problems. Recently, Joint Institute, as you probably know, got a decision of Russian government to assign their own PhD degree and Doctor of Science degree to our scientists who are seek this degree. And this system is under preparation. Right now we have old councils of dissertation councils working still working until end of August next year, and during the next year we have to install new system to give this this is not responsibility of university center. I just mentioned this activity which is done basically by directorate of the institute, but if we will succeed in this to create this system, then we will have possibility to avoid some bureaucracy problems with assigning the scientific degrees. But for our purposes, starting from the 2015, we have a special system which is agreed with Russian laws, the present Russian law on education. And this degree seeker system allows young people who graduating from the university coming to our laboratories start to prepare their dissertations, their thesis, without necessity to attend PhD postgraduate studies, because at the moment we cannot organize postgraduate studies at the Joint Institute, because postgraduate studies at Russian Federation now is a level of educational process. This is third level of educational process. We are not educational organization, so that's why we cannot realize this program in our institution. But instead of this, we have this system already 28. Right now we have 28 degree seekers right now from these countries, even from United States, you see. Already 5 people finished this attachment period and continue to complete their thesis and will be soon, hopefully soon, will be ready to defend their thesis. This attachment means that the council dissertation council will agree to accept the thesis which we prepared of young engineers when he attached to the scientific organization. If some young person is selected to scientific position at organization, in particular Joint Institute, then this system is not necessary. That such a person can directly, after preparation thesis, can go directly to dissertation council, present thesis and defend it. Of course, it has to pass these PhD exams, which can be done in different educational organizations, and we already have experience how these examinations are passed by our degree seekers in Moscow Institute of Physics Technology, at Lebedev Physical Institute, and Institute of Nuclear Research of Russian Academy of Sciences. It's really no problem. The problem is to have more nice, brilliant scientific works to be defended as PhD thesis or candidate of science thesis. Now a few words about our practices. I already mentioned that right now during the June we have practices for students from South Africa, and we divided this practice into stages simply because we cannot accept all students simultaneously. And traditionally, in July, we have students from Europe, And in September we will have students from Egypt, Belarus, Cuba and Serbia. So the students are selected by the countries, by Office of Plenipotentiary or some nominated person, either by plenipotentiary or representative of the of associated member, and supported, and this country pay for this practice and sent to us, and starting from 2004, more than 1,400 students already passed this program, and for some of them, this is really nice starting point, because when you are student in South Africa or Egypt or even Serbia or Cuba, then it's very difficult to start communication with our scientists. And this practice allows to do this. And after students came here, some of them, of course not all. It is clear that it is impossible to believe that all students will come to us as a scientist. But some of them became good scientists and come to us in the future. So this is diagram shows the distribution between the numbers of students between different countries, and most contributions are from Poland, from Czech Republic, from Republic of South Africa. And recently, quite recently, 4 years ago, again, by request of Committee of Plenipotentiary and having support of Committee of Plenipotentiary, we organized completely different summer program for the students when the system is inversed. In this program, we select this. We means our scientists. So this program more or less was copied from the CERN summer school. We have designated web page for this program. Students apply at the beginning of year in January during 2 months, and then after we collecting these applications, we open this database to our scientists and they select the students. Students come to us during the summer period from June to September, including during 6 or 8 weeks, and they can do more reasonable project. Actually, the very idea of this was to install this program came from Laboratory of High Energy Physics when Professor Kikilidze told me that for 3 weeks the students has nothing to do in Laboratory of High Energy Physics. 3 weeks too short period. They need something more extended, and we installed this program, and it is successfully works. Up to now, 191 students were selected. I will have so this is statistic of the countries, and of course Russia students also participate, and since Russia is the biggest member state of Joint Institute, the number of Russian students are the biggest, but there are also students not only from, and this program is open for everyone, since we are paying, and since we select the students, we are paying for them. So directorate assign a special grant to university center, and we cover travel and accommodation to equate, to make equal students from Moscow and from Havana. Okay? And laboratory pay per diem money. This is rules which already works for the third year, because at the beginning we started just for with fixed number of places, 20. And of course we have to divide in between laboratories. And when laboratory like Frank Laboratory get 4 positions, they ask more students because they found more students in the applications. We agreed, okay, they can invite, Frank Laboratory can invite such students according using their own budget, own money. But then different rules appear, because laboratory want to, not Frank Laboratory, some laboratories wants to minimize expenses to accept such summer students. And so it leads to some problems, but now everything is equal, so all the students got equal conditions, and sometimes students from Brazil, from Mexico, which are really necessary to realize some projects, I invited to participate in this program. And this diagram shows the number of applications. So we last 3 years we got about 200 applications every year, and number of selected students. You see the competition is quite high. So roughly speaking, one fourth, one fifth part of the students can participate. But this is the point is that this web page, it remember all the applications of the students with all their motivation letters, interests, etc. So now if somebody come to me and ask, I need some student for some project, I immediately address him to this database and ask advise such person to search student there. And this is very important that we have some database of people, of young people who are interested to come to us to participate in our scientific programs. Now a few words about our outreach programs. We organized together with European Organization for Nuclear Research in Geneva. We organize a school for the teachers. So we invite teachers in our institute in Dubna. Usually it is end of June this month. And beginning of November, we bring students from member states to CERN, to Geneva. And this slide shows how many students from which countries are participating in this country. And this program starts at the beginning as a program for Russian teachers. But eventually, since not only Russia is a member state of Joint Institute, eventually this program was transformed to the teacher program for Russian-speaking teachers from junior member states, either in June in Dubna or in November in CERN. And you see the different countries sent such teachers to participate in this program. We also participate in some Festival of Science. We support training of school students in Dubna. We organize a lot of visits at general laboratories. You see the figures. This is just figures for last half year. Sometimes it creates problem because scientists are complaining that too many excursions. But we try to compromise because we understood that we need to demonstrate our we should be open to society to have to recruit young people to our. And this is slide shows exactly activity of a group of Professor Panibratsev in realization of the project which you support 2 years ago. So this project will be continued in the new team as well. And so this project create multimedia models of our basic facility, create so-called virtual laboratory of different physical process. At the moment, a virtual laboratory of nuclear fission is created and becomes very, very popular in member states as a tool to educate students modern nuclear physics. By request of Ministry of Education, we create so-called NICA open lesson, and this is 45 minutes where our former vice director and then vice minister of education, Professor Trubnikov, explain in the basic level what we are doing here, creating NICA project. And I hope this work, very important work for the institute, will be continued and supported by our administration. And I'm concluding about our plans to organize engineering training in these directions. And you see young students from basically from South Africa. doing something in radioelectronics, and we have more fancy equipments to train students in vacuum technique and RF technique. And this is the same picture as you saw in the previous talk, which was discussed heavily. So this probably Belarusian students who work in this student. So this is student beam. So this was created especially for students on the base of this Linac 200 electronic accelerator. That's why it's very important to support. And you may probably ask why Djelebov laboratory because the university center, as it exists now, they cannot be responsible for such technique. We do not have any engineer in our staff. Of course, we have engineers, but they are write papers. They do not know anything about accelerators. Yeah. So that's why this machine should be at some scientific laboratory. And I'm very thankful to Professor Bednikov, to Djelebov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, that they agree to take this facility and to organize the normal conditions to work there. And the educational part, training part, will be included in this project, which you heard before. So I again ask you to support this project, which is very important to us. Again, this is the same picture, and my final slide about our budget. So the budget during this team start from about 1,000 kilo US dollars, but then in 2016 our administration decided to join budget of Association of Young Special Scientists and Specialists. They merge the budget of this association and budget of university center. That's why in the middle of this period, our budget increased drastically, and this budget includes so-called grants. Main part of this budget is money to organize the competitions to get grants of young junior staff members, which also from year to year it increased. So that's why I explain why we saw during these 5 years we increased our budget by the factor of two, as you see. We also, you see, this from this year to this, it's mostly because of the increasing of this part, but also since we increase our program in summer practice, we also increase some. We got some financial support from administration to support activity of Panibratsov group, and it is also included in this new budget for this year, 2018. That's why we now operate this number, and I hope it will be in the future, during the next team, which we ask you to support to open for us for next period of next 5 years, which we call by this fancy name, as Professor Knight mentioned at the beginning of my talk, because we are, I already explained, since we are not educational organizations, all our educational programs are part of educational program for our partner university. We do not have our own educational programs. So in Russian, excuse me for those who don't understand Russian, it is программа подготовки кадров. So it means that training of people, different stuff, of different sort of training, which we realized at Joint Institute. So that's why we changed the name. Thank you for your attention, and I'm finished.
Thank you very much, Professor Pakuliak, for this presentation. And again, I would like to invite the three reviews to be presented by your secretary.
Okay. We have three reports. First report is presented by Dr. Alexander Karpov. He is scientific secretary of GNR FLUR Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions. In the first part of the referee report, referee mentions three benefits of three main directions of activity of university center, which are first, attracting students to scientific and engineering work at GNR. Second is creating an open access education resource and renewing its content, it means web resource. And third one is scientific outreach. The referee mentioned that for the past 5 years, the number of students participating in the international practices organized by University Center has increased. It is also noted that number of universities, leading universities of Russia, like Moscow State University, St. Petersburg State University, MIFI, and others, train students in the field of nuclear physics, particle physics, and condensed matter physics in cooperation with the University Center. That is mentioned as a very, very important point of the proposals and activity of the University Center. The involvement of universities of member states in this activity is also underlined. Actually, the content on the referee report is very close to what was mentioned in the presentation, in particular, an importance of several festivals, all Russian festivals are underlined as well. Each GNR participated by means of University Center. And finally, the referee considers that University Center has successfully performed the assigned tasks within the frames of the closing theme. And also, referee supports the proposal for the opening of new theme with newly mentioned title, as it was shown by Professor Pakuliak. So, the second referee report is made by Professor Sanga Delek, member of our program advisory committee. In the first part of the referee report, there are a lot of also benefits of activities of University Center is are underlined. I would main basically focus on the last point of the last part of the referee report. I've just read by a couple of sentences which are mentioned by Professor Sanga Delek. The University Center has also put forward the importance of human resource program for the employees of the institute to undergo various trainings. Special practicing facilities on the basis of University Center Scientific and Engineer Group have been developed. And the University Center is constantly improving the licensed system of qualification development courses, professional skills gaining and mastering courses for technical and engineering staff of GNR. This is mainly maybe a response why we call it human resource program in the future. So, and also finally, the referee supports opening of new theme with a new title, as well as, of course, he considers that in previous period, the closing theme is performed successfully in previous 5 years. So, the last report which we have is done by Professor Ivan Shtekel. He's Director of the Institute of Experimental and Applied Physics of Czech Republic. I would read probably only the last point as well, which is devoted to cooperation of Czech Republic universities in general with the University Center and with GNR. The referee wrote that the Czech Republic is active member state of GNR and Czech Republic fully supports all activities and even further extension of University Center. We highly appreciate the results of UC efforts towards young scientists and early stage researchers, which is crucial for future development of GNR. Czech Republic actively participates mainly in summer practices. That means students and young people participates in practice and summer schools. Two special agreements concerning the research education of PhD students in JNR were signed, etc., etc. This year, our cooperation, it means cooperation with of Czech Republic with the University Center, is extended by participation of teachers of physics from secondary schools as a pilot program in Czech Republic. And finally, the referee finds all these points are very strong sides of the proposals and also suggests to open new theme named as Organization Supported Development of JNR Human Resource Program for the next 5 years, 2019-2023. That basically all.
Thank you very much, Oleg.
Let me just add to this last point that Czech Republic is the first who tried to organize national teacher program at our institute. So the program will be in Czech language, organized by Czech scientists in our laboratories for the group of small group of Czech teachers who came together with Czech students in July.
Thank you very much, Stanislav, also for this amendment, which is really a very, very important point, I see. Now, they, both the presentation and the reviews are open for discussion. Again, I don't... Yes, I see you, of course. Boris.
I have a question regarding the efficiency of the student summer program. You mentioned 191 students were involved already in these training courses in laboratories of JNR. My question is, what is the fraction, expected fraction of those students who can potentially become the staff members of JNR?
Yeah, right now I do not have exact answer to your questions, but we will start to collect in this statistic because the program start quite recently. We just have 4 years of realization of this program. But I mentioned that the students, not only member states, like, for example, students from Mexico already second time participate in project based on the NICA project. And I hope that during this this program, they will start scientific communications with the scientists, with the group of Golovatyuk, for example, for MPD detector or whatever, to continue this work in the future. Yes, the program, the rule, the main, one of the main rule of this program, that it can be used by the student only once, like in CERN. So if the student was selected and came here for 2 months, then he cannot apply the second time next year, because we think that during the 2 months it is enough time to initiate good contacts and then continue these contacts using other possibilities. Other, we have a lot of possibilities to invite young people, like new coming postdoc programs. I hope it will be installed and will allow to invite young people to us. And also laboratories, if they found during the summer school, they found brilliant young people, they are free to invite them. And of course, we need to have this statistic, how effective we are. And I promise next time I will present my talk, I will hopefully will have these statistics.
Yeah? You allow, next question. You mentioned the tight links to the universities, number of universities.
Yeah.
One of the closest universities is the University of Dubna.
Yes.
And under discussion, under already in the organization phase, is so-called International Engineering School.
Yes. And
my question is, what contribution could be done by JNR University Center in this?
Sorry.
Okay. Just a moment. Let me finish my question. The contribution towards this school at the university and vice versa. GNR University Center, could it be send your students on your database to get the education in the University of Dubna?
Yeah. To answer the first part of your questions, I again should come back to this Linux 200 program, because this is exactly what we propose university to use during the training, during the practice of the participant of this of the students at this international school. If the school will organize, I hope it will be organized, but the main task to organize the school to install educational programs should be done by University of Dubna University. If all this will be organized, we will certainly propose students who come into us from member states to participate in some educational activities of this, as we did it, for example, our courses at GNR-based department are gathered in the list which is published in our webpage, and students who came to us for one semester or 1 year, they can attend these lectures. Not being the University of Moscow State University, they can attend lectures given by our scientists for the student of Moscow State University. And the same we will realize with this engineering school when it will be organized. Right now, I cannot say anything more.
Thank you very much. I don't think we have to discuss it in much more detail, because I think the overall position of the PSC is obvious. So since I don't see further hands raising, I think that basically this means that we will support, first of all, appreciate the report and also support its prolongation. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Once again, and let me invite our next speaker, Professor Rusakovich, who will now speak about a conceptual project of a research center of proton therapy at GNR. So, Nikolai, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, dear colleagues. This is about the, say, future or destiny of proton therapy at GNR. You know that the therapy at GNR counts already 50 years, and many times the topic was presented to PACs, and especially to this PAC by tradition or by somehow closest area. And now some news is about the construction of a dedicated proton therapy center on the basis of superconducting cyclotron being now developed by GNR and the Chinese Institute for Plasma Physics. This is a slide taken relatively recently. It's a picture from the seminar at Laboratory of Nuclear Problems, which has been performed by Professor Komarov in April. And on this slide you can see, not very well, but you can see still, I believe, the very old picture of the first beam line for proton therapy, which has been constructed in 67. So it's really more than 50 years ago. And it was, by the way, by specific reason, the very fast construction of the channel, because at that time, one of most famous academicians, theoreticians in Russia, Pomeranchuk, was ill, and it was decided specifically to construct the channel to help him to provide the therapy. Unfortunately, academician Pomeranchuk died earlier a little bit, but still, from this time, the proton therapy topic has started at GNR and further on in Russia. After some years, the sketch of the construction of more developed center for therapy has started since year 2000 to now. Let's say the treatment of more than 1,000 patients had been done. However, it was clear all the time that positron beams are not best beams for this. The positron is a relatively big accelerator. It provides 600 MeV proton beam. Power consumption is about 3 megawatt. The personnel dedicated to maintenance is large enough, about 50 people. So it is not the best way to provide the proton therapy beam, obviously. Nevertheless, it was in 70s, basically, the Center for Proton Therapy was constructed here, more developed, several cabins. Now we are usually is using the this cabin, number one, which is mostly for conformal therapy with proton beam, and also this specific one which contains the cobalt gun for combined photon and proton therapy. What we will do next? Because we still expect that in, well, probably end of next year, the new accelerator could appear here. I will not tell you a lot about the accelerator itself. It's not my aim now, but I would like to make a proposal about how to deal with. I remind you that the current project, named Further Development of Method Technologies, Schedule Modes, and Delivery of Radiotherapy, has been considered by this PAC in 2016. And it was recommended with high priority, and it contains several, say, tasks. One of them is clinical trials. Clinical trials with specific formations of with diagnosis like chondroma, chondrosarcoma, and so on. And good enough statistics is already accumulated here. I remind you that there is a set of specific instruments for providing the very accurate proton beam, including collimators and degraders of the energy and so on. So all that is to provide exactly in the requested area the break peak. You certainly know about that. I will not go inside. And this is more or less, I think, main contribution of our team, of our institute, to this methodology, because it is really the, I think, first-class methodology for proton therapy from point of view of this all these techniques. There is also some works about planning and performing the therapy with very well adopted machine codes, with programs and so on. And also important thing about dosimetry and microdosimetry, which you have to have the very precise dosimetry in this area. I remind you that you have seen already this table 2 years ago. It was a request for very, how to say, modest amount of money here for 3 years. But one should always keep in mind that it doesn't include the price of hours at the Phasotron. And as I said, basically 1 hour is $1,000. So it really costs much more, in fact, not only this one. And we have to keep in mind that this way to provide beams is very expensive as well. You have provided a recommendation for this topic, connected to medical investigation in Dubna. Basically, it is a very positive topic, mentioning that it was in fact no more centers in Russia for therapy. Now it is a little bit changing, because in Russia we have in St. Petersburg one commercial center for proton therapy, and another in Dimitrovgrad is more or less close to become operational, but this more or less to me is not very clear. I cannot say it's 1 year, 2 years or something like that. But still, people is thinking in this direction, they are moving. In fact, good enough amount of collaborating institutions and so on. So it was very positive recommendation, and clearly people doing practical work with proton therapy will come next year, I believe, to you and ask for extension, because to me it is far from being finished, this topic of development of instruments for proton therapy. This is the building of Phasotron, a little bit older photo than now, but nevertheless, still many years ago, a Scientific Council, a Committee of Plenipotentiaries, addressed directorate with the question of the future of this Phasotron. At that time, it was still the program for basic research on the Phasotron. It was, for example, you could remember muon catalysis investigation, and also solid state investigation with muon rotation method. But all that is finished now. We have now no more basic research program for Phasotron, and we don't expect to have it. Clearly, it is a very old machine. From the other hand, as I said before, we expect in more or less near future the delivery of new accelerator superconductive one. And anyhow, we have to decide about what to do with that. The proposal is that probably we have to construct a new center for these investigations. This one should be based on this new proton accelerator. Earlier, it was an idea to replace the Phasotron by this new accelerator, but to put it inside this old building and use, to some extent, at least existing beam lines and so on. However, it looks, at least to me, I'm convinced that this option is not the best one, because this old building, because 70 years ago constructed equipment and so on, and also every year the requirement for such a kind of buildings are stronger and stronger in Russia. So the proposal is to keep or to approve for the Phasotron the very new role as a museum of Dubna, because it is very first, very known, very famous, and at that time when it was constructed, the most powerful accelerator in the world. In fact, even removing the pieces of accelerator is not trivial, because it's so active. So probably it will be wise to keep it as it is and only have some excursions to it from time to time. What about a little bit about the new cyclotron, which we expect to get here? Not all parameters, but 200 MeV beam, diameter 2.5 meters only, height less than 2 meters, weight about 55 tons. The energy consumption, as far as I remember, below 300 kilowatts, so basically order of magnitude less. This is the kind of building we could imagine to have for next proton therapy center. This is more or less 40 by 50 meters, and I will show what is expected inside. But before, the proposal is to construct the new center in two stages. First, we would like to restore the horizontal beam, which is used now for many years for the therapy, because it is the experience here, and part of equipment can be used and transformed from the old building to new one. At the second stage, we would like to equip it with gantry. Gantry is modern method, and so on. So it would be very useful to have a gantry as well. And the gantry we don't expect to build up here in the institute. It's a specific device. Probably it is better to buy it. About prices, I will say a little bit later. And also to complete the cycle, the proposal is to install inside the computer tomograph and the magnetic resonance tomograph, as well as a small accelerator, electron accelerator, basically about 6 MeV, to replace this cobalt gun, to provide again the combined photon-proton therapy, and in this sense to have, how to say, probably minimal but still complete enough number of instruments to do everything in one place, except certainly the purely medical things like beds, like personnel, like all that, kitchen and so on. We don't like it at the institute. We would like to keep the procedure as before, when we are getting people from our hospital, local one, for say few irradiation attempts, basically about between 5 and 10, and people is coming here for 1 hour or so, then I'm going back to the hospital. What could be inside? The cyclotron is very small one in this picture. Here gantry, here some place for tomography, and so on, and few rooms for patients and personnel. And unfortunately, it needs second floor because this equipment is high enough. So the second floor is okay, much less busy, but still we need the equipment here, going to the second floor. So there is a number of rooms basically for personnel. This is not, in fact, the project. It is already, it's still a sketch, and we are speaking now about probably the possibility to design the real project. Now about money. You see, it is, well, we can expect that we could start next year, in principle. The overall price is about $20 million. Clearly, it is very preliminary estimate, not precise. Half of this amount is going to the construction and design and construction of the building. Other half is equipment. From this other half, again, one half is gantry. So you basically you see the numbers, and when writing these numbers, we tried to be at the higher level probably than it will be necessary, just to do not to be safe, let's say. What I would like to ask you now, not to recommend this and to or approve that. The request is that if you still consider, as you confirmed 2 years ago, that all this business with radiotherapy is still important, still need improvement, still need technological development and so on, please give an advice to the directorate to develop the project. real project, because the project is not just a sketch. Project is something manifold and addressing civil engineering and accelerator techniques and establishing probably better interaction with medical institutions in Russia and everywhere. So I'm saying all that because I would like to get your advice and your thinking about the importance and necessity of that. What we will get if we implement the project? We will stop using the phasotron, what is necessary in any case, I believe, in any case. 70 years old accelerator should not continue. We could provide significantly better condition as well as for personnel working there, and also what is very important for patients, because if you go now today to the phasotron, you will see how unlike it looks. What is important as well, we would like to continue our own development and investigation of the method. Because if you just buy the accelerator, you buy gantry, you are not allowed to take a screwdriver and improve something. You have to obey rules, protocols, and so on. But here, in our institute, we always tried not to make a record in number of patients, but to make methods better and better. Probably, if we construct it and we'll demonstrate that it is good approach, compact but good enough center, probably it could be replicated in Russia or everywhere, because it should be placed somewhere near the real hospital, but contain almost everything necessary for proton therapy. And finally, it could be used as a training center, because, well, clearly the situation is different in different states, but in Russia at least, as far as I know, there is still now no regular procedure for educating medical physicists for purposes like this one. I thank you and also express my thanks to people who were participating in preparing this presentation. I mean our accelerator physicist, Galina Karamyshova, Grigory Shirkov, as well as medical people led by Gennady Mitsin, and also our designer bureau, which helped in providing some pictures. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nikolai. I've been really very much impressed. Now I'm looking for questions. Yeah, okay.
The main question, on my point of view, but if the general picture for such procedure, proton therapy, maybe outside, in our city, but maybe outside of our institute, together with medical hospital to organize our responsibility for accelerator, for example, for gantry and so on, but to join with medical, it may be more efficiently.
Well,
what your opinion, Коля?
What to say again? I think that, well, first of all, the request for proton therapy in this country and other countries is enormous. In fact, the number of therapy centers, proton therapy or hadron therapy, if you want, in Russia, for example, should be, I don't know, 50, 100. And every big hospital should have it. Yeah? I'm repeating that what it could be our role, not to maintain, I think, these centers. And my personal opinion that If the medical center of with large possibilities is planning to be established, it should plan to accept 1,000 patients per year and should work in very regular way, should really follow procedures and protocols and everything. And it is usual way to for doctors, yeah? If we still consider that we can give more to this area and insert some new mechanism or detectors or technologies, we should keep it inside the institute. Because it is not, well, clearly the general task is to just to make people healthy. But it is not our task of the institute. But to propose ways to make them healthy is our probably task. That's why I think that it's not, what you say is possible, but it's not our mission. If we still can contribute to this area, we should concentrate on development of the methodology, say.
I just would like to add something. It's absolutely clear, it's absolutely essential things. I'm not very agree with amount of centers what you mentioned, because I just found that the Russia proton therapy is requested, estimated about 25,000-35,000
okay.
people per year. So it means we need about 25-50 centers. But okay. anyway, it's absolutely important. And answering your question, I have to say that we should not forget this is still radiations. So still need some kind of qualification of people who are working over there. And there is such an example in Munich when they organized a radiation facility. It's not proton therapy, but radiation facility with isotopes. It's just on site, because it's makes tremendously easier of handling of things. Other way around, to building in the center of the city, something with the radioactivity will be dead with paperwork. I think this makes sense. And second thing, I really will support, because I saw it in the medical research center in Munich also. Actually, for such centers, 90% of people who are working there are physicists. You do need definitely medical doctors. You need special school here, but you really need a lot of physicists to develop things. You started to talk about to join things with tomography, with MRI, and so on. This is extremely important, new detectors, so on. This, everything is done by physicists. There are even the special specification medical physicists now in universities. I don't know, is it any kind of them here, but maybe also can think in this direction. So I definitely will support anything that can be done. It's surely a very good idea, but you need really good doctors next to you who would like to have it. And is it another question is, if you put things geographically in Dubna, how you can provide the flow of people to come here?
Well, as we are doing now, because I said already that we have now 100 basically per year patients. It is because, I don't remember exactly the year, but probably in 94, 95, we have agreed with our hospital, local one, to arrange the small but still dedicated department in the hospital and to invite, we have now two doctors in the field, but they are getting patients from Russia and mainly, I believe, from Moscow, but not only. And then these patients come in here, spend some time in this hospital, and I think we would like to keep this model.
Yeah, I think it's really very important to see that the main task of JNR will, of course, never be therapy itself. This is something like teach people fishing rather than giving them fish. I think we see now with proton therapy something like we saw 30, maybe 40 years ago with positron annihilation tomography. That time, positron annihilation tomography was only possible at research centers because they had the cyclotrons and no hospitals had the cyclotrons. And for example, in Hungary, that started sometimes in the 80s in Debrecen, and I don't know, very few patients per day. Right now, I don't know, I think Only in Budapest we have 3 or 4 cyclotrons in hospitals just for positron emission tomography. And at this stage, there are almost no physicists around. Maybe a few chemists, radiation chemists, and all the other technicians. Now, seeing this wonderful compact machine, this superconducting cyclotron, which will fit into a small room, more or less, our task is obviously developing this tool and teaching and training people from the hospital. So I am absolutely enthusiastic with this project, and I personally fully support it.
Thank you.
Further questions, comments? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
thank you. I completely agree with Charmin. I just wanted to stress that our goal, not therapy, just investigation and the teaching. This is our main goal. If answering your question, Mikhail Nirgovich, better to buy in our medicine chest or some traditional ABA unit, but prepare people here, teaching here. I will go teaching and investigation.
Absolutely. That's what I also wanted to say. So I absolutely agree with you. Further comments? Gheorghe.
Thank you very much. You know, I may only mention the fact that there are, very different situations asking for the treatment of cancer. And the present solutions work for, people who are healthy otherwise. They do not have other injuries of their organisms. And as far as I know, there is, successful investigation trying to extend the applicability of therapy procedures for people who have, a transplant of something, and also big portions of organism replaced by artificial organs. And as far as I know, this asks for a lot of, mathematical modelation. I know that I have pushed a few of my young co-workers to contribute to this effort. This is much, much orthogonal on everything that doctors do. The physicists know how to do, and they do it well. And then I'm quite enthusiastic about this possibility. In my own country, I know that people dream about such a center. However, they do not have any ideas on how to do, how to work, and this would be an excellent school and an excellent source of not of progress, but of influence, even cultural influence on many member states. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm allowed to react to this.
Yeah, of course. Sure.
Well, I didn't explain in details what is the list of topics to be investigated in the current program of our medical physicists. But I remember very well that one of them is just the study of influence and way to provide the therapy for patients with some metal implants and so on. So it is already in the focus, one of focuses.
Thank you very much. Yes, please.
So we have the case in our institute. We We have an old ion laboratory for accelerating ions. It was closed, and the only application which is still running is the eye tumor therapy with protons. So I want to give you a short feedback and how it works in our institute. So it's very important, the connection to the hospital, and second, the team which is working at the facility. So it's a mixed team between guys who are who are maintenance the facility. There are two physicists and three medical staff working together. So they educate the medical staff to work on the machine, and also they do the maintenance of the machine. So this means that you also need some mixture between competence from the medical part and from the physicists and engineers who are working at the facility. And important thing is that this facility is located in the institute, so so the maintenance needs the infrastructure of the institute and also the competence for the maintenance of this facility, because it's not just a commercial facility, it's self-made, let's say, and the knowledge is there, is preserved, so this knowledge is needed to continue to run this facility for the future. So also the facility takes or uses the permission of the institute, or how to say, to work with radioactive ionization, sure. Radiation.
Yeah, license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it uses the license. And I think that for such kind of facilities, which are dedicated more for research purposes and not only for applications, it's important to have the support from some scientific organization or from such infrastructure in order to have the guarantee that it will work for a long time. Because if you put it at the hospital, after several years, many problems will come which the people are not competent, so they'll try to find some solution. So this is our case. It's a small facility which works already for 10 or 15 years, and a very motivated team which is staying behind. It's also the personal problem. I mean, you should find the right people for this who are motivated to do this. And then I think it will be successful. So it's our experience.
Yes, I can only agree, but just mention that we are doing all that several decades already, and this mixture of physicists and doctors is there. There is an experience already. Yeah? We are just not saying about something very new, but about improving the existing possibilities, in fact. Thank you.
Thank you once again. Further comments? If not, I think, thank you once again for this presentation.
Thank you.
My impression is, well, this was basically an information, so now you don't expect us to to do anything in a sense, but still I think that in our final conclusions we should fully support the concept, and of course the rest belongs to the directorate and government.
Thank you. Just summarizing what has been said here is absolutely enough.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you once again. And I think now we will have a little break, not very much. Within 40 minutes we will reconvene for the reception here. And don't forget that tomorrow morning we will start half an hour earlier than today at 9:30 with our meeting with the General Directorate. Thank you.